Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Native Deodorant. For 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code GHOST during checkout. Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London school explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there. Who is the mysterious ghostly figure that follows one family from house to house, and what does he want? We ask that today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. I was playing with my... It's going to sound horrible. I was playing with my knobs over here. But all the buttons on the side of the... like something wasn't working right. It's just sounding worse and worse. Anyway, if you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person and EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes, gets you access to all the advanced episodes. All that is there for you at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. All the what I'm talking about here when I say these knobs over here, there's all the mic processors, essentially. It's this. There's two culprits in this office that screw with the sound of my microphone. One, the dog. The dog likes to go up to it and sometimes eat the... you'll notice over here, we're missing several knobs.
Does he pull them off and eat them?
He pulls them off and eats them. And then that in turn kind of turns the knobs a little bit here and there. Uh-huh. And then me and my desk chair turning sometimes, it will brush against them and then turn them. And the things when you have a mic processor, it's you have it set how you want it. And just the slightest bit, it's like totally screws it up. And I'll look at it someday, I'm like, why the heck is that all the way over there? Then like, what else has gotten messed with?
Do you remember when we had the house for sale in Wichita and one time you came in and everything was all messed up and you know it was some kids that had come in, they touring a house and they mess with all the knobs just because.
Yep, that was fun.
Yeah.
I loved that. So you're going like, where are the parents? Where are you,
I could have been the parents too.
It could have been. I mean, that's the thing. You never know anymore as to what's going on or who's doing what dumb thing. But anyhow, anything exciting in your world today? Anything good? We're still alive as of the recording of this show on the 9th of March.
Yeah, the coronavirus hasn't killed us.
I think it's good to note the timestamp of the show. Just because, who knows? I mean, everything changes week to week dramatically. Hopefully, by the time this airs, things have gotten better. Who knows? Maybe this is going to be like The Walking Dead, and it's going out there, and people are like,
there's this podcast playing to no one.
It's not going to be like that.
No.
But I do think it's fun to kind of, I guess, put a timeline there of everything that's going on. So right now is March 9th.
2020.
Toilet paper's hard to find.
It is.
Same with Clorox and Lysol. And the stock market's crashing today.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what life is like on this day in history.
That's your little time capsule. So if you're listening to the podcast, you know, 15 years from now, there you go.
Yeah.
Take you back to the good old days.
And there's thousands of people on cruise ships stuck because they're sick.
That would be the nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
Right there where you can't get off the cruise ship. And I mean, it sounds horrible because, I mean, most of the cabins are pretty, they're like cells, you know.
They're small.
You go and you sleep there, then you get off and you do other things. But to be stuck in that thing with no choice to leave for that long, I'm not claustrophobic, but I think I would be by the time that was said and done. And then, you know, not having, you know, adequate food. And I mean, all the good parts of the cruise are gone. You're just on a floating vessel that's a prison, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you finally do get off, now it's all, they have to be quarantined for. And I get it. That's how it should be. I mean, to contain this stuff or do the best they can. But that would be horrible. I mean, talking and just thinking of like how that would impact my life of like, how do you function?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? So it's funny because we were talking about this the other day and then we started going, we should go on a cruise sometime. So somehow this translated into us thinking about going on a cruise. It's like watching a like Food Network and you're seeing good food and you're like, ooh, I'm hungry. Somehow us talking about people being trapped on a cruise ship turned into a good idea of us wanting to go on a cruise at some point. I don't know how this evolved.
Well, it's been 10 years since we went on a cruise, and it still sounds like fun, but not right now.
Yeah, not right now. I've had nothing but positive experiences on mine that I've gone on. I've only done two in my life, but they were good.
I only had one bad thing happen on one, and I married my ex-husband, so that was it.
Well, they threw you a life raft. You know? But yeah, well, there you go. But hopefully, you know, when this all calms down, you know, we can go on a cruise, maybe. Or the boats will be abandoned and you can just go and do whatever you want. And it's like, hey, cruise.
I bet you, though, if you have to be quarantined on a ship, a Disney cruise is the way to go.
Do you get character visits at that point?
No, I'm just thinking they'll probably take better care than some of the other cruise lines.
I would hope so. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's probably, you know, they probably have more things in place because they need to really keep a positive
deep pockets.
I'm waiting for the parks to close here, which I think would be very interesting.
Yeah.
I don't want it to happen.
China and Japan's parks have been closed for like a month.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. By the time this airs, I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's talk about ghosts, something less scary than our world at this moment.
Okay.
Our first story here says, I've been listening to you guys for a little over a year now, and I absolutely love your show. I've been able to see spirits since I was 7 years old. I live in central Pennsylvania, and my first story is from the childhood home that I hope to never step foot in again. One night I woke up from a nightmare and did what any child would do. I jumped out of bed and started towards my parents' bedroom. When I looked in the hallway, I saw an old man standing there holding a Bible and a leash that was attached to a German Shepherd. We made eye contact and he looked at me very confused. We stood there looking at each other for about 30 seconds before he started walking towards me. I quickly jumped into my bed and pulled the covers over my eyes. I waited a few minutes, and when I pulled the blankets down, he was hovering above me, looking even more confused. I was so scared, I passed out. The next morning, as I told my mom of this event, she began telling me she saw an older man at the foot of her bed. As we talked about it, the phone rang, and it was my father telling me that my grandpa from California had passed away the night before. He sent me the picture of him in the mail, and it was the same man we saw that night. I'm convinced he did not know what was going on at that time. For years, he followed me to different places. The reason for me not wanting to step foot back in that house has nothing to do with that occurrence, but the fact that for years I would hear people walking around in the attic of that house. It almost sounded as if they were dancing up there. On one evening, I turned off the music we used to fall asleep to, and it sounded as if someone was walking down the attic steps. At that moment, my mother started yelling at me to turn the music back on. My mom and I are both very sensitive to these things. I always felt uneasy in the kitchen. I'd always see new people in different rooms. I have many other stories to tell. I may even call in and tell the stories of the house my uncle passed away in. I want to thank you guys for everything you do and for having this podcast. People to know that they are not alone and that they are not crazy. My grandmother refuses to accept that my mother and I have seen things and calls them voodoo. What are your thoughts on this?
I want to know what the deal is with people hearing people in the attic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because we get that quite a bit. It sounds like there's people in the attic.
And when you think of a haunting, you tend to think of, well, places that people were and were going about their daily life, especially when you have residual things going on. It's like, well, that makes sense if you're hearing them walking down the hall that you normally walk down. Why is it so often that they seem to be in the attic? Is it that it's a perception thing where we're hearing noises kind of off in a distance or faintly, so we automatically assume that these things are in the attic?
I don't think so, because you know when you hear somebody walking above you, it's above you.
That's true.
You know, I don't think that's it. I think there's parties in the attic. I don't know why the ghosts like that.
Is it a respect thing?
A respect thing?
Where the ghosts know they're ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, where's the place in the house people rarely go to? The attic. So they're like, I want to stay here. I want to live here, but I don't want to freak them out. I don't want to cause problems. So I'm going to do this, but I'm just going to take residence up here when they're home. Maybe the rest of the day they're out wandering around the downstairs, but when people are in bed and stuff, they're like, okay, I made the attic my room since all the other rooms are occupied.
I think it's the opposite. I think it's they know it will fuck with people, so they go up there and they stomp around and they make noise. Because ghosts don't have to make footprints or footfalls. You know, You don't have to hear that. But if they're up there doing it, it's like it's on purpose.
How do you know they don't have to make those noises? Maybe they have no control over it. Maybe they don't know when their foot stomping or just their walking is going to be heard and not heard. It's very like sporadic, where it's like a broken speaker. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Because most ghosts that we've heard of don't actually have feet anymore. They just kind of float.
I would miss that.
You'd miss feet?
I'd miss feet. They'd be kind of weird just floating around. It'd be kind of fun, but yeah, I like having feet.
Yeah.
It's not like a fetish or anything. I just like having feet to walk on. That's
nobody was thinking it was a fetish that you liked having your feet.
Well, you said you like feet.
No, I just meant you like having your feet. I could care less. I've always been self-conscious about my feet because they're big for a woman. So if my feet are gone when I'm a ghost, great.
You're totally good with that.
I'm all good with that. And I'm not that big of a shoe girl either, so I won't even miss that.
Yeah, it's cheaper on the other side then too if you're not having to buy shoes all the time.
Yeah.
I know how that works, but I'm sure there's something. DSW of the dead. Yeah. All right, back to our ghost stories in just a moment. First, I need to thank our supporter today, Native Deodorant. These guys are awesome. I've been using them now for a couple years, and what a quality product this is. And right now, more than ever, I've always appreciated the to-your-door delivery where it just shows up on a regular basis. You don't have to like go, oh, crap, I'm out of that. I need to go to the store and get more because obviously right now, that's not such a great option. Native deodorant comes right to your door. Yes, it's a great thing. It's free shipping. And you, if you've never tried it before, they're going to give you that 30-day return guarantee. That's 30 days free returns and exchanges in the USA. Free shipping on every single order as well. No risk to try. Let's talk about the product, though, other than just the convenience of it. Because, I mean, I love the convenience, but the product itself, it's great stuff. Many conventional deodorants, let's just put this into perspective, they contain aluminum, it forms a plug in your sweat glands, and it keeps you from sweating. Yeah, nothing like sweating up or plugging up your glands with aluminum, right? So Native doesn't do that. Yes, you can feel good about it. Right now, obviously, we're all thinking about health and in more ways than one. And this is a good thing. It's safe. Native deodorant is formulated without aluminum, parabens, or talc. It's also vegan and never tested on animals. And its ingredients, you know, it's made with the things you've heard of, like coconut oil, shea butter. You wear deodorant every day. Shouldn't you be able to understand the ingredient list? Yes. Trust me, if you've given up on deodorant while you're staying at home, your family is begging you, please wear some more deodorant. You can't completely give up on the deodorant. This stuff is great. Great scents, too, including their classics and rotating seasonals. You're guaranteed to find one you love. Classic scents include coconut and vanilla. That's the most popular. Lavender and rose. Cucumber and mint. Eucalyptus and mint. And there's more. Native comes in a wide variety of options for men, women, and even teens. They even offer unscented options. Baking soda-free formulas for those with sensitivities. And like I said, free shipping on every order. Native offers 30-day free returns and exchanges in the USA. Over 9,000 five-star reviews from happy customers who made the switch to Native. Check it out for yourself. Like I said, it's just great stuff. And I love how this stuff comes right to you. They even have toothpaste now. So there's another thing. You're sitting there going, I need to get some toothpaste. Hey, add that to the order too. It's a great stuff. Two minty flavors with the option of fluoride or fluoride-free. It'll help keep your mouth squeaky clean. So check that out as well when you're checking out and ordering. Just go and get 20% off your first purchase. Visit nativedeodorant.com. Use promo code GHOST during checkout. That's nativedeodorant.com. Use promo code GHOST at checkout and get 20% off your first purchase. These guys are supporting our program, helping us stay on the air during this tough time. Please support them and you'll be happy because your stuff comes right to your door. You don't have to go anywhere. Not that you have much of a choice in many cases, but this is great. It just comes right to your door. NativeDeodorant.com. Use promo code GHOST. Get 20% off your first purchase. We love it. You will too. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next letter says, my family had moved to Okinawa, Japan, and I went to an international Christian school to finish high school. This story happened when I was a junior in 2010, and I recently become a Christian, so I believed. Interested in the Apocrypha books, I think I'm saying that right, books that were taken out of the original Bible, I decided to buy one through Amazon, specifically the Book of Enoch. After reading halfway through, I noticed a shadow in the corner of my room just standing there. Being in Okinawa, I didn't think much about it with how haunted the island is. After a couple of days, the shadow disappeared and my high school days were normal. One night I was studying and I heard the front door open, thinking my parents came home from their date night. Without turning around, my door opened and I hear my dad ask me about how studying went. I answered, it's going well. He then asked me, did you finish that book you bought yet? I did not yet, and he strongly advised I finish it soon. I turned around and no one was there, thinking he had gone to the bathroom. I heard my door open again. Curious, I went to the door, only to see my parents coming home from their date night. I went to bed thinking maybe I was just tired, only to hear a voice in my room saying, not finished yet. I couldn't sleep in my room that night and slept on the couch in the living room. I woke up to get water and saw the shadow right on top of me, and I couldn't move. I tried to ignore it and got my water, only to feel like something or someone pushed me. I went back to sleep trying to brush it off, which completely failed. I drove to school but didn't even remember leaving the house. All I remembered was I was having a conversation with someone on the way there. I got to school and felt like something was constantly looming over me. During one class, my friend asked me about a note I had apparently slipped into their locker. I told him I didn't write a note, or at least I don't remember that I did. We looked at the note together, and it was written as if someone was desperate and destroyed a pen over it. The note said, "You can't have her. She is mine, and I'm not leaving." My friend was a devout Christian and helped me convert during this time and invited me to go to her youth group. I decided to go to the following day, and that's when the voices started getting louder. All that kept ringing in my head was, it burns. It burns and we have to leave. I don't want to be here anymore. I told my friend about the voices and I almost couldn't enter the building because I started physically feeling sick. She grabbed my hand and said, everything will be okay, and we went in. There was no one in the building except my friend, her boyfriend, and both their parents. They had told their parents what was going on and decided to say a prayer together. They all faced me and I was felt scared of everything happening. During their prayer, it felt like I was next to a fire getting hotter and hotter, and all I heard was a scream. Once they finished their prayer, they decided to take the book I brought with me and burned it at the beach for me. Ever since the book got burned, everything went back to normal. I didn't see the shadow. I heard no voices and nothing touching or talking to me. 10 years have passed and I still remember that chill I had during that time.
That's interesting because you wouldn't think that a book like that would have something attached to it or something be stirred up by it.
Yeah, I mean, it may. I'm going to guess there's something connected with whatever the physical copy was, not even necessarily the content.
Mm-hmm.
And then the, I don't know much about the books of the Bible that have been taken out of the Bible. I know that they're there. I know that's documented. That's a fact. I've always been kind of curious about that as to why did we edit these? And I mean, I know it was usually a political reason for whatever point in time the king made their version. But I'm also curious as to what are we missing, you know, from those. So I couldn't really speak to any of the content, but I'm thinking there was something about the content there, or maybe maybe it just all was weird timing. That all this kind of happened at that moment. I don't know. I felt a burning sensation when I would attempt to go to the youth groups too, when I was a kid.
It's because you just didn't fit in.
Exactly. It was like, I couldn't do it. Thing is, my aunt was like, she ran some of them back in the day, my Aunt Enola.
Uh-huh.
And she was really big into the kids and everything. But, and all the kids loved her, but I didn't get along with most of the kids. And it's not that I didn't get along with them. I just didn't fit in. There wasn't like fighting or anything. I just always felt so alienated around them. I felt like I just wasn't normal. I'd rather go off be by myself or something. But anytime I did try, I tried it like once or twice and it was just so clicky and so not what you would expect or think of in a church youth group. That was one of the clickiest fucking groups I've ever seen in my life. And alienating, at least the one I had.
That was my experience. I went a handful of times.
Yeah.
And most of these kids I knew from school, but it's like they were nice at school, but at youth group, it's like they had their group and you weren't welcome.
It was weird. It was like some of the, and I'm not bashing religion or anything, but it was like some of the clickiest judgmental assholes, biggest ones I've ever met in my life. At that moment. And it's like, isn't this supposed to be like, you know, friendly and accepting and,
well, and
nice?
Part of me wonders if it's because they know who you are and are you going to judge them and then report back to school what they do at youth group or how, you know, religious or non-religious they really are. They almost put up a wall, like they don't. Yeah. They don't trust you yet?
You see, I never look at it from other people's perspectives on that one. I just look at it as from me, like feeling rejected, and then I'm just off in the corner by myself.
I almost wonder if it was more that.
It's kind of the opposite of, of what I was thinking. Well, damn it. I'm going to go to the youth to... Oh, wait, everybody grew up. Can't join it anymore.
No.
Yeah, it was weird.
Mm-hmm.
You had the same experience?
Yeah, I went to a couple of different ones I tried, and I just felt alienated the whole time.
No. So the lesson here is don't join youth groups.
No, that's not the lesson, but we have a hard time feeling accepted in groups anyway.
Period.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be at a church or anything. Yeah, in general, it takes some effort.
That's why we're weirdos that do a ghost show out of our house, so...
That's,
you know,
true. Oh, there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a call in here.
Hey, Tony.
Oh, standby. Let's start it over here.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. And maybe Carol. I think it's really not important. A couple of years ago, I called in about a story about the Michael C. Killian house. I'm not sure if y'all remember that story. It was a few years ago. It was like back in 2016, I believe I called in about it, about the renovations me and my younger brother were doing and about the windows breaking on one floor when we were on the opposite back and forth. So I'm calling in with another story. It's been a while since I called in and I really didn't think about the story till I was listening to one of your podcasts. And but basically, it has to do with the same house. Now, the second story, I can't remember in the first story if I explained about they had a little opera room down in the attic part of the house. And basically, their little opera room was a little backstory where basically where they had the back in the day where this place is at, it it was an asylum for for the children ward inside this house. It was basically something where they could just go into and sing choir, stuff like that. We were doing renovations back down there into the basement part, which the little opera room is. And just to give a little clarification, this opera room is really huge. Well, the basement area is really huge. It's just, it's gigantic. I think it has 29 rooms, which is weird, a weird odd number to have. But yeah, we had to do renovations in every room. One room that we did renovations was that really was kind of scary to me was the room that was right behind the auditorium area where the little where the kids would sing the choir and everything on the stage, just because basically what happened, me and my brother were doing renovations in there and we couldn't keep the lights for, we had lights on down there but they were all ran on a generator. Well, the thing was is every day that we would go back into that basement area to do, finish our work or whatever, the light bulbs would be busted out. Every single light bulb. And we had all kinds of lights in there. Just busted out, busted out, busted out, busted out. Well, our manager at the time, because this was years ago, basically told me and my brother, hey, I don't like the basement area. Just keep it away from me. Y'all be safe. Blah, 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 right? So, basically, I was started to do the renovation to this one room, and my brother was somewhere else in the attic area. I start doing, taking the drywall out, making the place look nice and neat. While I'm working, basically, I start hearing my brother talk to me. So I'm conversating with my brother, and basically, he wasn't making sense what he was saying. He was just kind of mumbling and stuff. And, I just keep doing my work. And about 35 seconds later, I would say about a minute or two later, actually, he come in there running, said, "Hey, I'm kind of spooked out. Let's get out of here." And I was like, "Well, what are you talking about? I thought you were right here with me." And he was like, "No, I was down into the, I was outside this room where the opera, I don't know why I keep calling it that, but the auditorium stage is at, taking some of the flooring out." And I was like, "What, dude, I swear to God, you were just talking to me." And he, turns out he wasn't. I swear, and I mean this, I take this to my grave. I swear he was talking to me because it was just him right behind me. And I know nobody was else in there but me and him. So, this one was a little short one. I'm kind of under the weather right now, but, I am going to send, some more of this house stories about this home. They actually now, it's, an apartment complex because I drive by it almost every day. And it's kind of weird because the things me and my brother went under through that house is just crazy. I wonder what people are, experiencing in that home. But thanks, guys. Y'all keep up the good work.
Would it be appropriate to go over to the house and be like, "Hey, anything ever happen in there?"
No, because if the people living there don't have experiences, you don't put that in their head and make them freak out.
Yeah.
I'm one that's like, don't ruin somebody's, memory or experience or something.
Or lack thereof experience.
Yeah.
Don't like make him think. What would you do if, here's a fun scenario.
Somebody came here.
Let's play fuck with Jenny.
And said this house was haunted, right?
Yeah. If somebody came knocking on the door, Miranda Lambert with a guitar and just started singing.
Right, about, the house that built me.
Yeah. But instead of, it's like, these are the, my memories, like, you know, then did you ever hear voices? Or? No, okay, not Miranda Lambert, somebody else. What would you do? I mean, because we have nothing going on here. This doesn't feel that way in any way, shape, or form. And I guess I premise that it could be any house. You
yeah.
know, they have nothing going on at, but somebody comes up to you and says.
I would say no, that we haven't had that. And I wouldn't say this to that person, but I would assume it's something connected to that person or one of the person's belongings.
Sure.
That is making all the noise or voices or whatever.
Would you handle that pretty good now, knowing all you know about ghost cases and hauntings and things of that nature, where so many cases are just that, it's a person that is haunted, not the house or their belongings or something to do with them? Or would you then be forever paranoid that maybe there's something dormant?
Forever paranoid.
Forever paranoid, yeah.
That's, you know, that's how I'm going to be.
Sure.
Worried about that.
Would you try and do research on the person then to see, well, what's their story? What's the, dig into a little more Facebook stuff?
I probably would. If the person came and said, hey, your house is haunted and here's who it's haunted by, I would probably research that. But I don't want people to
do that.
I don't want people to know that that's how it would freak me out, because, you know, that's why I'm hesitant to tell people what we do, because I don't want them to be like, well, I'm going to freak you out.
I don't think people want to freak anybody out, like, in a mean way.
No.
You mean like how would they freak you out, like, if you just told somebody? Like, what's your fear? They're going to tell you their ghost story, or they're going to tell you something that you can relate to?
Well, that's why a lot of times I don't tell people what we do, because I'm afraid they're going to take that as a challenge of, here, let me tell you the scariest thing I can think of.
Okay.
You know?
And what? And then you don't want to hear it, or you don't, then you're not going to have an ample response?
It. You can't unhear it.
Okay.
You know? It's one of those things that's like, no. It takes a lot anymore, honestly, and this is not to put down anybody's stories, but it takes a lot after doing this for years mm-hmm. for me to have something bother me after we're done recording.
Sure.
But you told me one the other day that bothered me for sure.
What was the one I told you that bothered you?
Well, it's actually about the grave talks.
Oh, yeah. There's an episode. It'll be airing this June, I believe, is where it's slated. Gravekeepers get it a little bit sooner, but I did a very interesting interview and had a conversation the other day, with Patty Wilson, who's an author, she also has done some, you know, author type reporting for journalism. She's a journalist as well, I guess you could say. I think that's what I would classify her as, author slash journalist. Way back, it all connects to 9/11 is what I'm trying to get to. And obviously it's a very difficult thing to talk about. But she had published a piece, right after, because someone came to her from the, United 93 crash site in Pennsylvania. She lives right by it. It's, you know, it's right there. It's her home area. And, there was an individual who was charged with keeping watch on, it was a private security firm, after Federal had left, and they were just kind of trying to do what they were doing. And this private security person, big bodybuilder type guy, didn't know who to talk to, came to her. She did not seek this out. And knew about her work or publishing and all that, and said, I want to tell the story. I don't want to make money on it, and I'm not here to do anything like that. I just want to be heard. Mm-hmm. Told his story to her. She published it back in, I think, like 2003 or something. And it really hasn't been talked about much since. I don't believe she's gone on any shows and talked about it. But we have a conversation, an episode of the Grave Talks coming up where she recounts that conversation. Yeah. There's not a lot of real questions for me to ask during this interview. It was really just hearing the story of what happened. And we're going to present that one as a full episode. There's no part one and part two to that one. It's just going to be all out there, as one piece, and we release it. You know, it's not a topic. You go, and for the rest of it, you know, listen to part two. Like, no,
this is a story that should just be heard.
Yeah.
In its entirety.
It would be wrong to collect anything from it.
It's not. Yeah, we're not going to, you know, be making any money on that. It's just a very compelling story. Anyway, I don't want to go into the details of it because it's chilling. I mean, when you think about it, and it's a weird, I don't say weird, but it's an angle to this horrible, horrible time in our past. The aftermath of it that I had never heard before, never really conceived of before. But then when she was telling the story, I'm like, oh God, this kind of makes sense of what some people were experiencing there. Anyway, that's all I'll say about it. But Ian, anything else you want to say about it?
I was trying to think about why it affected me, because ever since you told me that, it's been on my mind.
Okay.
And, you know, I hate to say I hear ghost stories all the time, and then by the time we're done recording, I can walk away and not think about it, or I can put it out of my mind. Mm-hmm. It's a skill I've developed. This one I can't put out of my mind, and I've been trying to figure out why, and I wonder if it has to do with the fact that we all, those of us that were, you know,
alive,
adults, you know, because a lot of kids weren't watching this, but those that watched this happen live almost feel connected to it, whether you were directly affected or not. Everybody was affected.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's why it's bothered me so much, is to know that's what happened afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime, you know, you're adding new information essentially to something that you kind of thought you're going to have all the answers to, that you're going to get in your life. You know, there's, you know, certainly things of this where it's like, we'll probably never know this or that. But I think a lot of us have, you know, we understand that 20 years later.
Yeah.
But then when suddenly you have this kind of new perspective and this new layer to the story, or a layer that you never even knew it existed, kind of come out, it's like, yeah, I mean, it rehashes old wounds, old mental wounds.
But what we learned from that episode rings true with everything we've found and studied over the years with all the stories, as far as people who die quickly and energies, as far as emotions and things. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's scariest about it.
Yeah. I mean, it all makes sense. And I mean, the way that the story is told, and the way that, you know, I that's why I feel like I'm not trying to like tease it, like you should listen. It's just more like, I don't feel like I can accurately describe the story and give it justice the way she did.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'm not trying to tease it, but this is, I'd rather just, when you hear the story, hear it out of her mouth and get a better, you know, full grasp on it, because she was there firsthand collecting this this story from this person who wanted to share it. So it'll be interesting. Once that's ready to go, like I said, it'll be out around June on the Grave Talks normal feed. So a little bit time from now, but it's going to be an interesting episode to hear in its entirety. And on that happy note, we're going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our program and like to keep us on the air, well, please consider becoming an extra podcast person. That's an EPP. Do it at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes of our show, advanced episodes, and more. Ebook, audiobook, it's all part of it. You get it all at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.